Jesus, the Father of creation. We've come to give him glory, for he's the author of salvation. For he alone is worthy to receive our adoration. Yes, we're here just to worship our Lord. Yes, we're here to worship Jesus, oh, the Father of creation. We've come to give him glory, for he's the author of salvation. For he alone is worthy to receive our worship our Lord. We're here to worship Jesus, the Father of creation. Yes, we've come to give him glory, for he's the author of salvation. For he worship our Lord. Oh, yes, we're here to worship Jesus, the Father of creation. We've come to give him glory, for he's the author of salvation. For he just to worship our Lord. I lift my hands in honor and in glory to the King. Hallelujah.
Well, it's good to have the McGowans back. They came back just in time. Look how this place just thinned out while you was gone. So, gotta have y'all here to get them all back. No, just joking. We know everybody's gone to the campground and are having services all this week down there, and We're here to stay with the stuff, somebody said. And so here we are in the midweek, Wednesday night, and just get a little more go juice to keep us going. And talk about go juice. So you got that. There's been a kind of a discovery or breakthrough for some time about a green juice that you can drink to help your system. And there's a bunch of different variations to it. But the bottom line, they've discovered that green leafy vegetables like spinach and kale and all those good green vegetables, have whatever kind of green, collard green, spinach. I said spinach already, but cucumbers and celery. But the greener it is, the better it is for you. And not only does it, I had my own personal experience with it. I was exercising every day and eating less, but I lost some weight, but I couldn't go no further. In 1 month I lost about 15 pounds, and then the next 2 months I didn't lose a pound. And I'm like, what is wrong? I'm eating less. And so I started making this green stuff, and what I found out is it's really good for your liver and balancing your pH. And it wasn't a week into that, the weight just started coming back off me again. Just adding that in there. I got some good juice. Made some good juice. Sometimes you need some good juice to get going again. Something nutrition for your soul. We need nutrition for our soul. That man shall not eat by bread alone, but of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's the nutrition. We get a lot of prepackaged, processed foods. That's the worst thing you can put in your body naturally. It's a highly processed food. But we get a lot of processed stuff out here. Highly processed and refined. It says low fat. But it's complex. And that's just coats our cells. From what I understand, the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes is type 2 diabetes, your body produces enough insulin, it just can't penetrate the cells. Well, we've got too much stuff around our cells where the insulin can't penetrate. And so we're eating highly processed every day. And just like in a natural, where you can't hardly turn around and eat anything without it being highly processed. You can't hardly. This is a fast moving world, and everything is processing really fast. You got to step back, and you got to get some goat juice. You got to get some green juice. And this is the place you get it. You get it from the Word of God. And you'll have to forgive me. I'm a little weary tonight. But I didn't drink my good. I did drink some good juice this morning. I mean, this afternoon. I drank some really good stuff this afternoon before I come up here. Just give me a minute; it's gonna kick in. And when it does, y'all better get back. So God, you know, our heart is to desire and long to fellowship once again with the Father, like Jesus had a relationship with the Father. And Jesus, you know, it was, what is it, James and John that said, you know, we want to sit at your right hand, left hand. And he said, well, you know, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism I've been baptized? Is that what he said? Or drink from the cup I'm going to drink from? Drink both. Did he say both? Something along that line. You know, are you willing to go through the things? Are you willing to go through what I'm going through to be in that position? And they said, oh yeah, we are. And he knew they didn't know what they was talking about, but he did tell them, oh, you will. You will. Now here's the thing. Not everybody, Jesus had a specific calling. And his calling was to be the Savior of the world. And the things that he had to go through and the suffering he had to go through to be that Savior of the world was different than his direct apostles, his disciples. But those men had to go through a suffering because they were going to spread that gospel further. And they were going to have to give their lives to do that. Give up their life, give up the life that they were pursuing, and give their life to another cause. And and then people that were called to spread the gospel had a different calling than just everybody that was receiving the gospel. That, I mean, that's at least how I see it. So what do you mean, Brother Michael? Well, I'm not called to be the Savior of the world. I'm not to go down the cross. And I may, in my period of time and in my calling, I may never have to go through martyrdom. But I may. I don't know. But it hasn't been revealed yet. But there have been many saints that the calling is what is for our hearts to be turned back to the Father and to have the that relationship with the Creator and to long to be one with Him as Jesus was one with Him. And he said, Father, make them one even as you and I are one. We'll all go back to what God created us to, the intent to begin with, and that is to be one with Him. Well, I've got almost just about to the place where I've said, God, I don't even really think I know how to seek you. And I said, what do you mean, Brother Michael? You've been serving God all these years. Yeah, but I go through a lot of the motions of it. I go through an ideology of what I have of it, but I've kind of come to the conclusion that I don't even know if really know how to seek God. Now I know He could reveal that to me, and I know I could ask, and it shall be given. But to for my heart to be filled with a complete desire to be one with Christ, with God again, for Him to be my Father and Him to be and I'm to be His Son. I had one friend told me, I think that's a healthy place to be, because now you're going to be seeking. How do I do this? You know, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opening to you. I hope I'm not the only one that feels this way, but that's how I feel. I feel like I'm still looking for this place. And I had a friend tell me, he said, if you talk about really seeking God, everybody's on board with you. But when you ask him, hey, let's get together and pray about this and spend 1 hour, let's spend together praying about this one thing, all of a sudden, they're gone. They're not interested in doing that with you. And I said, well, this is the thought that came to my mind. Be honest with you, Jesus had those disciples and they were really good fellowship for him, but when it came down to it, he had to walk it alone. He even asked him, I'm gonna take you guys up and let's go pray with me. And they really wanted to do it. They thought the idea was a noble idea. Yeah, we're gonna go pray with Jesus. But he really, when he got up there and he was in earnest and he was seeking God, he looked back there, they're asleep. And he's like, come on. Can't you just talk, 1 hour? Just pray with me for 1 hour. And they're like, okay, we're going to pray with you 1 hour. And he went back there asleep again. And he said, he didn't say fooey on him, but he's like, he realized, sleep on. I've got to go through this alone. I thought about that, and I thought, it's nice. I've got brothers and sisters. I can have my fellowship on that level with y'all. But when it really comes time, when it really, really comes time for me to fellowship with Him, I have to do it. It's going to be by myself. It's going to be that it's just going to be me and Him. Now, it's just me and Him. We can only come up to a place together. Well, when you're called to go up that next step, and listen, I'm not talking about friends leaving you and everybody. I'm just talking about they don't have the same burden you've got. They're already asleep. And just say, sleep on, brother. Sleep on, sister. It's just me and God right now. This is what he wants to take me through this process right here, right now, by myself, just me and him. And we have to be fine with that. We have to be comfortable with that. We have to say, we have to get to that place that I don't need that validation from that person, from people anymore. I love my brothers, I love my sisters. I want them to go on with me. And I know they're gonna go through the same baptism that I'm going through right now. I'm going through it right now, but I know to get to the place that I'm going, you're going to have to go through it too, and it's going to be a very narrow path that you go through. And it's just our nature for us to all want to do it at the same time, together, right now. I know I used to be on a thing when I was on an exercise kick or a diet that I couldn't just be satisfied with just me doing it. Everybody else had to do it with me, right? You know, come on, I don't want to do this by myself. But, you know, when it come down to it, I found out I'm glad I've got all my friends and they can be a support. But I really am gonna really have to make up my mind to just do this myself. I've just got to do it, you know. And whether anybody does it with me or not, well, that's a natural picture. But spiritually, I think it's the same way. We've got to be able to say, Lord, all right, sleep. Let them sleep on. They don't have to. They don't have to. And they've come as far as they can go. I don't know if I'm making sense, but anyway, that's just the thought I had for tonight. It's this thought that came to me, and I just want to share it with you. Lord, help us. Let us go through the baptism. We call it the baptism of fire. We go through that fire, and when we come out, it is well with my soul. And then my testimony. And my light may shine before men so that they would have that longing, burning desire within them to reach the place that I would reach where they would have fellowship with the Father as I'm having fellowship with the Father. They desire that long desire that to be have what I have. Anyway, happy to share that with you tonight. And we want to pray for everybody coming back this week and that they have a good meeting, and pray for everybody that's sick. My son Andrew had a spastic esophagus episode, and it's kind of what I had been having and was real uncomfortable with. I felt like something had their fingers right there on me all the time, and I'd have pain right here. And I went and had it dilated. And that night, I was here in church, and I thought it didn't do me any good because it was having the same feeling. It was spasming, is what it was doing again, But after that, I've been fine. The procedure worked. Well, Andrew had a whole different reason to have his esophagus dilated because he would get choked while he was eating food. He'd been doing this for some time. So he was having spasms in his esophagus, which is kind of normal after you have the procedure a day or two later to have a spasm. But he didn't know what it was. And so he felt like his air was being cut off and his chest was hurting, and he hadn't had that sensation, and so they took him to the hospital, but they gave him some medicine. They said he's going to be fine, and we're glad for that. But keep praying for Andrew and Brittany. They need your prayers. We're not asking you to pray for them. Sister Elsie. Sister Elsie's family. Sister Linda. And your foot's doing better. Good. Okay. Barbie, what was that thing? Zen? Zen. Okay. Barbie Zen. Sister Wilkins, yeah. Okay. Pray for Sister Karen. Got these procedures she's having done. Pray, what was that? Those two girls that come. Fran and Shay, and then what was the sister with Israel and Jerusalem? What was her name? Kimberly? Kimberly West? Leslie. Okay. Her name was Leslie, right? Her last name was Wesley, and her first name's Kimberly? Okay. Let's pray for her. I think that she really enjoyed the service here, and the friendliness that the church showed to them. Said they'd be back next Sunday. Met her husband out in the parking lot. He said he would come next Sunday. So pray for him. Works at Taco Bell on University, named Jeremy. Okay, let's pray for him. Oh, yeah. That's very serious. Blood clots in the lungs. I got that text. I should have brought that up, but thank you for bringing that up. Sister Ann Thompson's, if you couldn't hear, Sister Gladys, father was admitted to the hospital with blood clots in his lungs. We really pray in earnest for that, because a blood clot can easily go from the lung to the heart. And that's a very, very, very dangerous thing to go through. And we need to, that's very serious. So we need to pray for him. Brother Tom, oops. Sister Rhonda, pray for Sister Rhonda. Okay, let's stand and pray. My mic. Okay, we'll pray for your son, Jonathan. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the things that you've done for us.
God, thank you, Jesus.
Give you thanks,
Lord, for your cause, for your mercy.
You're so much goodness. So much mercy. Lord, I bring this knee before you, Sister Thompson's. Father, Lord, help us get those blood clots cleared from his lungs, oh Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to keep your hand on them. Help the doctors, whatever you can do, Lord. Help them through this traveling time, this troubling time. Dear God, dear God. Oh, God, every one of these people that we brought up tonight, Barbie with their cancer, and Sister Wilkins, and Sister Elsie, and all the ones that are coming in. Brother Joe Bill, Lord, and I've seen Brother Henry. Oh God, Brother Ross, Johnson's thank wife, you, Sister Beth, Lord, thank we you, ask you to touch them each one.
God, we need your help.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, Jonathan, dear God, dear God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. go ahead and receive the Wednesday night offering as well.
Thankful to be here. Hope everybody at the campground's having a good time, getting a good blessing, bringing something back. I was just going through my mind. I didn't really have much to say. Like everybody else, I'm kind of tuckered out right now. But I came in here and just want to lift up my hands and raise my brother's hands. I'm thankful for this. I was thinking about something about me and mountains and stars and stuff about that. I don't know. It kind of fascinates me. And I was thinking about stars the other night, and I started thinking, you don't see stars in the daylight very often, do you? You sure don't. You see stars when it's not dark outside, when things you can't see in front of you. It got me to thinking, sometimes being down in that valley, sometimes when things get dark, you can't see things. But you know what? They open a brand new universe sometimes. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that sometimes we're going through that valley, it opens up a new set of trials. Something else opens up our eyes to something different. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful God can reveal our eyes. And you know what? If you don't look up, you're blind. You don't know. You can't see in front of you in the dark. Sometimes you got to lift your eyes up and say, those are the stars up there. And you be thankful for them. I'm thankful for that. I just want to say that I'm thankful. That old song, every time I think of stars, I think that's not. I just want to say I'm thankful for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. And when my race is through, I'm coming home to be with you. I just want to say I'm thankful. That's all. You know what? That's all in your heart tonight. Get up and say, I'm thankful. That's all. Just raise up your hand and say, I'm thankful. You know what? We're here and we have a purpose for this. We got to go forward with this. If we don't, we lag behind. I think it was the guy who invented McDonald's, the guy who founded it, said, you're not green and growing, you're ripe and rotten. Ain't that the truth? You ever seen a ripe tomato keep growing? No, it's green and it keeps growing. I want to be green and growing here tonight. I want to keep going. Nobody's here and nobody else can pat me on the back. It's a good job. I get up and lift my brother's hands up. Lift up the church's hand and say, you know, can I give it a kickstart? You know, old motorcycle, got electric starts now. But now you got the little kickstart. And it takes some umph sometimes. Sometimes you got to power through it, get your feet through the mud. I want to do that. I want to kickstart. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful God gave me this vision.
How we start. We may not really mean it. We may mean it and really don't even think about how thankful we are to be here. And you know, sometimes at the end of a Sunday night, you know, after we've been here since, you know, Bible study and church and potluck and cleaning up, and then do you go home? Do you stay? Then you come, and then Sunday night seems to drag on. By the time you go home Sunday night, it feels like sometime that you've been through the ringer. I mean, you have to go back to work to get some rest. But try sitting at home. I think sometimes when God wants to get my attention, he lets something happen to my joints. Seems like something about my knees. Y'all know my stories with my Achilles tendon when I ruptured it and the things I went through. Or I get a little bit of tendonitis in my knee, and I'm telling you what, it just gets inside my head. I hate it. I hate not being able to move around. You know, not having a physical ailment that you can tell people, you know, I got kicked by a mule, or I had a motorcycle wreck, or I got in a fight, or something happened to my knee. It just is. You wake up with a little twinge in your knee, and there you go. But I think God uses that sometimes to maybe slow me down and makes me consider, you know, what's the very word selah in S-E-L-A-H in Psalms means pause and consider. A lot of times you can't consider unless you pause. And just being like Brother Michael was saying, I appreciate what he said tonight, because that's the very thing that was going through, you know, my mind yesterday, laying on that couch. I've been laying on the couch since Saturday night. Just cannot literally, you know, it's just one of those things. I can't explain it. It is what it is. But it caused me to slow down and think, am I saved? Am I really saved? Have I been going through these emotions my entire life, you know, raised in this, and you think, you know, am I just going through, am I coming here, do I know the doctrines? You know, have I ever said, the sinner's prayer? Have you accepted Jesus, you know, the little prayer you see on the pamphlet and things like that? Have I ever actually thought of that? Been baptized, got the Holy Ghost, but have I really ever thought, repented and did my first works over? And you know, and you start thinking of all the little things you say, the little things you hear your entire life, like mercy and grace. What is mercy? What is grace? It got me really thinking, you know, what the difference between mercy and grace is. And what is mercy is God's unmerited favor. But what is grace? So I started looking at this. And I actually started, you know, I tell you what, and on a little aside, you want to get yourself really down, lay on the couch all day long and watch daytime TV. It is pathetic. The junk. I'm out in sales. I'm out all the time. I think I know. I think I'm fairly, you know, streetwise. I don't know what this world is sunk to. I really don't. I mean, it is really just blows my mind. It makes me rethink, you know, should I even have a TV in my house when I see, and you can't get away from it. I mean, you can be watching the Discovery Channel, and then there's a commercial for something like, where did that come from? You know, I didn't think twice about it till it hit me the other night when we had a little party for Alex, and my mom and dad came over, and my dad's sitting there, we're watching the NBA playoffs. And I don't think about these commercials that come on until my dad's sitting there. I'm like, oh, Lord. I can't, you know, but you worry you're going to change the channel. The next one's going to be worse. So you just leave it there and try to change the subject. But it's caused me to do some soul searching over the last couple of days. And I'm appreciative of where I am. I really am. In thinking about mercy and grace over the last couple of days, this scripture came to me in Psalms 136, and I just like to read it. I mean, I started reading it, and I just sitting on the couch the other day, it almost hit me right between the eyes. Brother Wayne did this here a while back, and at the end of every verse, I think it says, "For his mercy endureth forever." Was it 26 times through here? It's 26 verses. And it moved me when I read it, and I was just reading it by myself. It said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. To the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt on their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered as in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever."
Well, I've been feeling good ever since Sunday night service. We had a real good spirit, so I've been feeling good all week. But a few months ago, maybe a couple, I don't know how long it's been, Sister Linda was checking people's blood pressure downstairs, and when she checked mine, I went into shock. I couldn't believe it was that high. So I figured I better get to the doctor. So I went back yesterday for my 3-month checkup, and I was really felt good. He checked it, and it was 130 over 80, and so I was feeling pretty good. But when I went 3 months ago, I weighed 228, and yesterday I weighed 231. So I didn't feel so good about that. I think I've got to change my eating habits. You know, my sister, I don't want to hurt her feelings, but she keeps me loaded with sweets right now. Right now I've got 2 12 packs of Pepsis and 2 24 packs of Pepsis and 6 12 packs of Pepsis that she's brought over. And then yesterday I already had a pie she brought over. She brought over 4 cakes yesterday, so I don't want to hurt her feelings and say I don't want to hurt her feelings and say don't bring me any more sweets. But I know I've got to make a change, and I got to cut back. I got to make a change somewhere. I mean, the Pepsi, you know, they have 100. I drink one of those a day, and they have 150 calories. And they say if you go about a month without Pepsis, you can probably lose 10 pounds. So make a change somewhere. But anyway, I testified about 2 weeks ago about when I was out at church, you know, and so I thank God that he didn't let me forget this place. I believe there's a scripture in Psalms that says, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my hand forget her cunning. And, you know, when I came back to church 12 years ago, I saw people sitting on the platform that had been here for years, and I thought, well, they weren't foolish like me. They didn't leave church. And, of course, now, you know, never know what's going to happen. There's several people that used to be on the platform that's not here anymore, and so you know, I feel for them, because God didn't let me forget this place. When I was out of here on Sunday afternoon, I'd be watching football, me enjoying the football game, and the thought sometimes come across my mind, I wonder what's going on at church today. So I'm glad God didn't forget me and leave me out. But with the youth, we had the youth service Sunday night, and I appreciate our youth. You know, they've got probably a glorious future ahead, because they're going to be around to see the restored church. You know, there might be a future apostle here among us, among our youth. You never know. But when I came to church, I wasn't young, but I was fairly young. I was 34 and a half, and Brother Tucker, I don't know if he really believed it. He stressed the end was near, you know. He stressed that. One time he said, well, Brother Fleming, I've got to preach it that way or people play around. So I was 34 and a half, you know, and I didn't know if I was ready for the end or not. I wanted to live on this earth a while, but someday there's going to be a young people that's going to see the culmination of this. But anyway, I bought a 1,200-page book a few months ago, and I didn't know part of it was written by an atheist, and it's interesting to see how an atheist thinks. And you know, this man, he said if existence just is, you don't have to look out for an outside source and come up with an idea that God put us here. He said existence just is. That's just mysticism to look outside and try to explain this by God, you know. And he said he didn't believe in God, but he did have a pretty strong belief that out in the cosmos there's superior civilizations to us. And I thought, that's strange. He can't believe in God, but he believes that there's creatures out here in the cosmos that's superior to us. And so, you know, all I know is that when it's time for church, you know, you know, this place, when you really gets a hold of you, it's like a magnet drawing you here. And so when it's time for church, I know that it's the Spirit of God that causes us to want to come. So I believe he's real, and I appreciate this service tonight. I knew we wouldn't have a lot of people, but I feel like we've had a pretty good spirit here tonight, even though we haven't had that many people. So praise God. I'm glad to be here.
Place like home. You always enjoy going, but you always enjoy coming back home too. And it was very enjoyable, but you know, when you look out at all the creation that God has made and everything, you can't help but think, Lord, what a wonder you are. What a wonder you are when you see all the glory of God, man couldn't do what he has done. The mountains so high and the valley's so low and the waterfalls and everything. But, you know, I just appreciate God. And we were blessed on the trip because we got on a cruise that there was gospel singers on there. So we went to gospel singing every day. And we enjoyed that tremendously. And but I am so thankful to be home, and we miss church and miss what we would wonder. Well, wonder what's going on now, what they're doing, what's going on, who's up, what's being said, or all this. You know, just like you do when you're away from your home. You wonder, well, what's the kids into? What have they got up to? What are they into they're not supposed to? But I'm so thankful, just thankful, 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 thankful that God included me. Oh, God, he didn't have to, but he did. And as Brother Brett was saying those scriptures, his mercy endureth forever. When you stop and think about that, when you stop and think, God, your mercy to me endureth forever. Even when at death, it's merciful sometimes. Sometimes that's God's mercy. Just let you go on because you don't know what's in your body. It may be merciful for you just to go pass on. But you know, his mercy is always there to help us, and his grace. God has shown his grace on all of us. Oh, God, and I'm so thankful tonight to know that his mercy and grace endureth forever.
Well, it's time to go to church, and I'm ready to go. Yeah. I'm hooked up and ready to go. But anyway, it's so good tonight to hear the testimonies. I love to hear people's testimonies. I like to hear their experiences. I like to hear them thank the Lord for what he's done for them, because I know when we're with this people, the Lord has done wonders for us, and I appreciate it so very, very much. And I thought tonight is... different ones was talking how that, especially Brother Brett and different ones is talking about how that they was thinking about things. And I, too, this week, one night, I was reading some history that had been someone in the body had written it. And I'll tell you what, the longer I read it, the better I felt. And first thing you know, it was almost 12 o'clock. And then I begin to reminisce and to thank the Lord that I had the opportunity to read this and to know the things that I know. I tell you what, I appreciate what we know concerning the Bible. What I believe, definitely believe that this is the right way. I'm not looking for anything else. And when I found this people, I did not hunger. I did not thirst for anything else. I found that well, and I took a drink out of it, and brother, it quenched my thirst. And so tonight, I'm always happy. I'm happy to come to church. I don't care how bad I feel, and I feel plenty bad. Let me tell you something. I don't do a very good job covering it up, but I try to cover up my feelings when I come to church. But I'll tell you what, me and Harlan both, we've suffered this week and all. But anyway, I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad we can still come. I'm glad we still want to come. We don't find no excuse to try to stay home. But anyway, it's something about someone's talking about a drawing. This has a drawing feeling to it. And I'm glad that it does. Like I said, we've had people to pass out here not very long ago. Somebody passed out here, and they felt a drawing to come back here. And they come back. And I'm glad that we got something that's got a drawing power to it. And the more that we use it and the more that we exert it and push it out, well, then the more powerful it's going to be. And so we just don't know who he's going to bring in. And I just... this week I reminisced over what the Lord has done for me, and every so often, I don't know, I like to get by myself and think over my life and think how that the Lord has kept his hand on me, and he's brought me to his people. I was just a young teenager, and I said, Lord, I know that what I'm hearing out here is just, that's just not the way it is, and I want to know, and I know that you can tell me, you can let me know. And I thank the Lord that he permitted me to come in contact with his people. And I'm just a young teenager. In fact, I was just 16 when I met this people. And I was just sitting there the other night. Harlan, he went to bed kind of early. He was hurting. And I just kind of like some time by myself sometime. So I just sat in there in the living room, propped my feet up in my recliner, and just relaxed in the Lord. And I'd cry a while and I'd pray a while. And I'd reminisce. And I thought, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you brought me to this people. But I tell you what, Brother Durham, this is worth everything. This is worth everything. And I don't feel like that I've lost a thing in the world. And all the time that I was growing up, I probably five times I've seen a movie. And I just couldn't go. That's all there's to it. It's just something hold me back. And then something tried to say, well, you're missing out. And I thought, oh, no, I'm not, because when I get a hold of this, I knew I wasn't missing nothing. So anyway, I just sat there and thanked the Lord that even though I was a teenager, I could have went to the world. I could have really, really split it wide open. But I'm glad that the Lord kept his hand on me. And I just thank him. I think, Lord, here I am in my older age now and still rejoicing in the things of the Lord. And I appreciate the Lord. And I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for you people. I love you people. I mean, I love you. And it's just something about this people that my folks are wonderful people, not like that. But I'll tell you what, to be around you people, I look forward every service to come to the house of the Lord and see you. And so tonight, I appreciate the Lord so very, very much. And I tell him real often, Lord, I love you, and I appreciate what you've done for me. And I'm so glad that he talked to me in my young age and that I didn't get mixed up with a lot of stuff. I'll tell you what, I am so thankful. I thought, Lord, I'm so blessed. I know I'm so blessed. And I just rejoice in the things of God, and I'm not tired of it. I was a teenager. I went through all the teenage stuff. I didn't get mixed up in it, but what I mean, you know, you feel the vibrations of it, you know. But I'm so glad that I didn't get mixed up in it, and I didn't feel bad that I wasn't a part of things, because we say that Jesus, that we found what we need in Jesus. So if we're happy and we're satisfied, we're bound to be finding something in the Lord. So tonight I'm so thankful that the Lord included me, as Sister Ann said today. I'm glad that he included me and let me come this way, and I'm not tired of this way. I don't desire anything of the world, but I love to be with the people of God, And I can truthfully say that I do. And if you could talk to my family, you'd know that, brother, they, whenever they come to see us, they say, well, are y'all fixed to go to a meeting or anything like that? And I appreciate that because, listen, they knew we went to church. And they called ahead to find out, well, we're going to be home or not. So I'm glad of that because God is great. And I'll tell you, this body of people and this message that we hear means so much to me. And I really highly represent it. So I'm thankful.
There's a lot of people that's gone to our meeting, but, you know, we miss them, but we want to make sure we get something because somebody's here and somebody unlocked the doors, and we want to make sure we get something here. We want to be thankful that we always get something. You know, Brother Al's here to make sure we're here to worship the Lord, and somebody's got somebody to get behind the pulpit or even out here to get give us word, something like this. You know, there's always something here. No, the house is always, the doors is open, somebody's got something to say, and maybe a song, and it's not idle. That's what I think, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's not idle. There's not, it's not dead. That's one thing, it's not dead. Somebody's here, someone to give something, and I'm trying to put my two bits in, because I know that's all I got. As long as I got something to give, at least I'm still breathing. As long as I can do that, I got something. Not much, but that's what I got.
What is it you said, Brother Jerry, when you run off in that ditch that day? And what was it, Brother Al? He said, here we are. Well, I'm glad to be able to say that, really. To have a revelation like we have, it's precious. And you really don't maybe pay as much attention to it until you get out away from it amongst a lot of people that don't have this revelation. When you realize that the Spirit of God dealt with us and talked to our hearts and opened our eyes and opened our ears, you know, we can come in and, as Brother Brett so well put it, we could take it for granted, really, that we're in something that God has got, where God is working and he's doing something, and sometimes it's hard for us to realize that we're part of something that is so great. But yet when you see other people that don't have a clue as to what God's doing, it really makes you appreciate where we're at. You know, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I'm excited about what God's doing, and I'm excited. You know, it would be good to know that God's doing something, but to know that we're in it. You know. And maybe some of you don't realize that you're in something that God is doing. And if you don't realize that, you know, I don't know what to say for you. But I want you to know that I know that we're in something that God's doing in the earth. We're a part of it. And, you know, we, as Brother Mike said a while ago, we're not, maybe we're not called to be an apostle. You know. We don't have to be. And we don't have to be called to be a prophet. We don't have to be called to be an evangelist. We don't have to be that. We can just be called to be a saint. But I'm telling you right now, to be called to be a saint in the house of God is a great calling. It's a great calling. And, you know, we shouldn't take for granted in our hearts that, well, this is just another church, because it's not. This is not just another church. We were with friends, my brother-in-law and his wife and close friend of his, that in all the conversations that we had, God really didn't come to the forefront as as that he was doing something. You know, they think that the end of the world's coming, all right, but they don't have a clue what God's doing. They don't have a clue. And on top of that, they really don't want to know. That's the sad part. I thought many times through the trip that we took, and I do appreciate y'all giving us leave to go. You know, I'm glad that we got back, you know. But many times it crossed my mind, God give us something to where that when we stand up and we begin to talk about your great kingdom and we talk about your great work, that it'll ring bells in people's hearts and in their minds to such a degree that it'll cause them to want to turn around and do something different than what they're doing. And I do realize, I mean, I really realize that not everybody in this world wants to be saved. They really don't. And, you know, I'm familiar with the fact that God's mercy is going to be withdrawn to a certain degree, but, you know, to me, it's merciful for God to allow people to be destroyed, because if they continue in this world, they're going to make a mess of it, even worse than what it's already made. But the more godly this world becomes, the more, how can I describe this in such a way that a person that doesn't want to serve God, can you realize how much torment they would be in? Think about it. Somebody that doesn't want to serve God, doesn't want to do what God wants them to do, and everybody else wants to serve God, can you imagine how much torment that person is in? Whew, my Lord. So for God to just kind of let them pass on off the scene, to me it's merciful. I'm sorry. It's showing mercy to that man. And, you know, it's not tormenting them. It's not putting them through a lot of things they don't want to go through. But you and I, we want to go through some things. We want to go through the judgment that Brother Smith has told us about, because we believe there's something better on the other side. And that's what God's doing to us. He's trying to get us prepared for that better thing. So I'm thankful. I'm thrilled with what God's doing. I'm thrilled with this service tonight. Maybe you folks are, you know, having a hard time with it, but don't feel bad about it. Just say, hey, it's going to get better. But we're having a good time. My wife and I are having a good time. We're enjoying this. We've been gone for a while. It's good to be here. Hallelujah. To feel this good feeling. I wasn't, Brother Bud put it the other day. He said, Jesus made the statement that there's not a greater born among women than John the Baptist, you know. Yet he said the greatest, or the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Yeah. Listen, if you know anything about John the Baptist, he was a preacher. He turned things around. What come ye out for to see us? A reed shaking in the winds, what Jesus said about him. He said, I tell you, nay, he wasn't a reed shaking in the wind. John the Baptist was a staunch preacher. He had a revelation of God. And he was preaching that revelation just like God wanted him to. Yeah. You know? And yet, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your eyes are open, your ears are open and you're hearing these good things. We're greater than what John the Baptist was at that point. And I kind of think that he probably resurrected and got the Holy Ghost, is my thought on it at least. But my Lord, what a thought to consider that God has touched our lives in such a special way. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for what he's done for us tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To know that God's talking to our hearts and our lives and he's dealing with our minds. We heard the songs of those gospel singers and they were singing about New Jerusalem. And they were singing about a whole lot of things. And I thought, Lord, I wish they really knew what they were singing. If they knew what they were singing, they wouldn't be able to sing it like that. They'd have to sing it a different way. But here we are tonight. We understand some of those things. It's been taught to us. We've got an enlightenment on it. Let's not take it for granted. Let's don't lose our appreciation of it, our thankfulness for it. But let's really have a thankfulness in our hearts to such a degree. Here's what I'm saying to you. You can get a thankfulness in your heart to where that you can be off by yourself and nobody else around, and you can still say, God, I appreciate what you've done for my life. If nobody else goes, I still am appreciative of what you've done in my heart. Hallelujah, the truths you've planted down inside of me. Hallelujah, you can do that. You really can. You can have an appreciation and a thankfulness in your heart for what God's done. So I'm thrilled to be here tonight and to feel this wonderful covering that we have. Amen. Thanks for all the good things that's been said.
Glory to God. Good words. Hallelujah.
This is my life.
This is what I
Saturday.
We're only just going to be a few of us, so we'll just try and get a few things done. But then we're just having a continental breakfast.
Continental breakfast Sunday.
Yeah, because the stoves will be out of commission, and there's no more dinner day until after the meeting.
No more dinner day until after, or potluck.
Potluck.
Or dinner until after the youth meeting.
After the youth meeting.
So, but that's not to say anybody couldn't go get a pizza or something. Or
yeah, you could bring pizza here, but we won't be cooking anything. Nothing will
be
in the kitchen.
In the kitchen, right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, also, Father's Day.
Father's Day this weekend.
So if you want to bring me a present, you can. I'm not like Brother Fleming. You can bring me cake.
You can bring me some greens.
Yeah, bring some of that cake.
Well, you could go healthy, Sister McGowan, and bring a carrot cake. So, oh, it's Jamilka. Jamilka had her baby.
Good.
Hallelujah. Brother Green's a grandpa.
All right.
Well.
Hey, let's be praying for Brother Phil Fisher. He's going to be going to the Dominican real quick.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a little word of advice. You know, Jacob Durham had a little hairline kind of like yours, and he didn't take any sunscreen, and he came back with a lot of peeling going on.
Yeah.
So, y'all, shake hands and be friendly. We'll see you Sunday.